You know, as we go through this life, God has given us many blueprints to look at to get us to the same place. I mean, because we can be little like Chizari, and we know that one day we're going to grow up, don't we, Chizari? We're going to grow up, and we're going to be big and have bills to pay and have to go to work, right? Well, in this patriarchal series that we're doing in the book of Genesis, little Isaac that was being mocked by Ishmael has grown up. He's past the stage of being a big boy. He's a man now. And having grown up, he had a lot of things that we dealt with last week, fitting the shoes in the eyes of the people of Abraham. But one thing that we would note in the life of Isaac, Isaac still seemingly had the same type of humility that his daddy had. I'll say it again. Isaac seemed to have the same type of humility that his daddy had. You know, when we were going through Abraham, how Anne brought it out, God had given Abraham promises. And he could have stuck his chest out. Do you know who I am? Do you know what God has promised me? Do you understand that I talk to God? I'm his chosen. You can't just treat me any kind of way. And we never see that in the life of Abraham. Now, couldn't Isaac similarly say, or summarily say, I'm the son of Abraham. Do you all know who my daddy was? Do you know anything about my daddy? Do you understand what God had promised him? Do you understand what God did to the Egyptians because of my daddy? Do you know what God did to Abimelech because of my daddy? And yet, we see in the life of Isaac a real person. And the writer of the book of Hebrews tries to help us to understand something. That Isaac is a person that you can look to, that you can look at his life and understand that here is a person that did not cast away his confidence in God. But there's a couple of passages in the scripture that I just kind of want to run by you just a little bit. Romans chapter 15:4 says whatever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. Patience and comfort of the scripture. Patience. The scripture should give you patience to trust God. But how? You better learn to look at the lives of these people and quit thinking you got a hocus pocus God that's going to give you everything you want when you want it. Comfort. Do you understand that as you go through the Bible, you're going to see people that had disappointments, trials, and the Bible say God was with them? Wait till we get to the life of Joseph. When you read the life of Joseph, it keeps saying, and God was with him. And you're going to see Joseph in some places. It's like, if God was with him, this ought not so to be. Patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. These things that we read about in what we call the Old Testament is for that reason. And there's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about those things that were written aforetime were written for our, King James said, in samples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. What's that saying, Chizari? When we talk about Isaac and Abraham and Jacob and Esau and different people in the Bible, we're supposed to learn how God dealt with them and let that be examples to us. Not just everybody we see walking around every day, because they may not even go with the scriptures. So let's roll into this passage and let's see what's really, really going on here. I don't know why that thing is doing that. Let me take the volume down. Now, that made it a little better. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 says, and there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Gerar. And the Lord appeared. And the Lord appeared. Did you catch that? When it's capital, what does that mean? Yahweh or Yahweh. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. That might not mean a whole lot to somebody, but I want you to understand something. There was an indecision going on right now in the time of an economic downturn. Tell me it's not an economic downturn when you have cattle and you got to eat, you have a family, and there's a famine in the land. Unless you don't know what a famine is, you don't understand it in an agricultural society, and there's no food, and the sun is shining, but you're not getting enough rain, and the crops are not growing, and there's a famine in the land, and it was so bad that he was ready to move. Yes, he was. And God said, don't go to Egypt. I let your daddy go, but you can't go. Do you understand something? I can't make everybody be me. And you can't make everybody be you, and you can't make everybody be just like somebody else in the scripture. But there are some fundamentals that should be in the life of every believer. One is he should know God's word and be led by God's word, not by what you think is the spirit. Because sometimes what you call God's spirit is what you already wanted to do. Yes, it is. Lord, don't let a woman see a guy that's cute. And he talking to her. Oh, the Lord done sent me something, honey. It's something, but don't blame that on the Lord yet. You ain't even, look, you got this book right here and you ain't even opened it. You don't know what's on the pages. Could be written in Latin. Could be written, and you can't understand one word of it unless you're one of those people that have taken Latin. Now, there was a famine in the land. There was indecision. Somebody said, I don't see any indecision. Let me tell you something. Anytime God has to tell you not to go somewhere and tell you where to stay, there was something going on in your mind that you had to deal with. And God gave him the, don't you go. But somebody said, well, that means it was wrong for Abraham to go. You can't tell me that and make me believe it, because I know that his son is going to be told to go. Jacob. God has the opportunity to deal with individuals as individuals and still those individuals be walking according to his word. Somebody say, well, Tim, he wasn't going according to the Bible. How asinine can people get if God talks to you? That's still his word. I'm not talking about somebody tell you God told me to tell you. Not that kind of stuff. But at this time, when the word of God wasn't written, God said, don't go to Egypt. I'm going to fulfill the promises that I gave to your father. And so he went to Abimelech, king of Gerar. Some feel that this was the same Abimelech. Some feel that it was a title. I don't know. If it is the same Abimelech, he is very old. Very. He's probably dusty by now. Take a phrase from somebody. If it's another one, then it's a title. But I want you to notice something. There are some similar patterns. God had a famine for Abraham, a test. He has a famine for Isaac. And so Isaac goes down to Abimelech, king of Gerar, and God talks to him before he goes. I want you to feel this. Isaac could go down there in the strength of seeing who my daddy was. He could go down there and talk about what all God has done for him. Isn't that what the servant did when he got Rebecca? Told him how great his daddy was. But before he goes, listen to what happens again. And the Lord appeared unto him. Let me tell you, wherever you're going, if God were to tell you, look, I want you to go there and I want you to stay there, but I'm going to bless you. You're mine. Now, when you go there, do you think you go down there with your tail tucked between your leg like a dog hit with a rock? You ever seen a dog that's barking or something? Maybe you hadn't lived in the country. But if you can throw a rock and hit that dog that's charging at you or barking, the average dog would turn around and run with their tail between their legs. You don't go somewhere like that when the Lord tells you you're blessed. And he says, stay there and I'll bless you. This is what I'm saying. This man was dealing with humility. Watch what happens. Verse number 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Understand this, Isaac. You're going to go through the process of making babies. But it's me that's going to be the one that's doing the multiplying. I'm going to make your seed as the stars of heaven innumerable, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Do you understand what he's saying? Do you understand that this hasn't happened yet? God promised this man that all these countries are going to be given to your seeds, and through your seed, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. There was a job that was given to Isaac and passed on to his seed. What was that promise? What was that responsibility? If I chose you to have my word, if I chose you to be blessed, it's not for you to stick your chest out like a bird walking. You ever see how birds walk and their chest out like women in heels that are too high? If they can keep their balance, they stand up like this so they don't fall. You ever seen that? It reminds me of birds sometimes when their heels are real high, how the birds walk in their chest stuck up. That doesn't mean that for you. With the privilege, with the selection of God to bless you, to be a blessing, that's a responsibility. And if that responsibility is not met according to the scripture, there are consequences. And so God told him this, and then in the 5th verse, he lets him know there's no reason for you to fail. There's no reason for you to fail. There's no reason for you to go to Egypt and not trust me. What do you mean, Tim? Verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Abraham obeyed my voice. He kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and laws. And what meaneth that, Tim? Some people say Abraham didn't have to obey God. That's because you took one part of the scripture, because Paul quoted one part of the scripture. You didn't take it all that Paul said in concert. You just ripped it apart, little piece by piece. You're old enough to have somebody say, so-and-so-and-so said something about you. And then you find out the whole story. It's like you were trying to make me mad at this person because you might think I can whip her and you can't. That's not even what she was talking about. And God knows if you watch political parties when they get ready to run for president, the way they take a little snippet here and a snippet there. The Bible says Abraham obeyed my voice. Think about this. Your name is Faye Merritt. Suppose your epitaph was this. God is talking to your children. Because Faye obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. People make it, if you do that, you're not going to be walking with God. They must be sick in the head. Need some kind of drug to make them see things clearly. Would to God it could be said this about me. But he's saying you're going to be blessed, and the nation's going to be blessed because Abraham was faithful to me. He kept the things that I told him to do. He kept my charge. He even kept my commandments. God commanded him things to do. And he kept my statutes and my ordinances and my Torah. That's law. That's his instruction. So again, I'm going to bless you. You'll be a blessing. I need you to understand I'm going to bless you just like I bless your father. But this is why I bless your father like this. The word because means something. They call it cause and effect. And it says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, listen, because she was fair to look upon. Bible don't say that about all women. The Bible, when we say fair, we think fair means like they okay. No. When the Bible say fair, that means she was, what young people say, a dime. What they said in my day, a fox. Beautiful. Looking good. And so, we see the failure here. Here's a failure. Somebody may say, Tim, you just adding something. I'm telling you, God just told this man to bless you. God just told you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed because of you. God had just shown that your father had pleased me and you're right in line with him. And then he goes down to the place and he's afraid of the people there. He's still human. But that's a failure. I'm not saying he should go there with arrogance, but I'm saying this man went down there. When you trust God, you shouldn't be afraid of man. That's where you get that from. That's what Jesus said. Even one of the Psalms say, you know, I trust God. I don't fear what man would do to me. The Lord is my helper. Well, it says, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time. Notice, he didn't just come and they snatched the watch like they did with Abraham. He had been there a long time that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out of the window or crack in the wall. Where do you get that from? I just looked up the word window. And saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Then what does that conjure up in your mind, a man sporting with his wife? What do you think about Jelly? What do you think about Stephanie? What do you think about back there, Pop? Sporting. Do you know that they say that they don't have a clear definition of what that word means? It could mean so many things, but it means the word that they get is to jest, to play, to toy with. He's doing something that let the man know this is more than a sister. Mm-hmm. You see, sometimes I might take Ann to a movie and I might see somebody 14 years old, 16 or 17, and I see this boy grabbing on her, pulling on her. I already know he's either had his way with her or he has too much access to her to just be that first time out. I can tell. And this man can look and say, you don't do this with a sister. This is not right. This is your wife. And it could have been like maybe hugging her or just, I don't know. But whatever it was, listen to what the man says. He says, and he called Isaac, I'm in verse 9, and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. Not girlfriend. Of a surety, she is thy wife. How said is thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. Do you see Isaac lost his faith? I didn't say he turned to another God. I didn't say he went into adultery. What I'm saying is, if God has just promised you that you're going to have these countries, if God has just promised you he's going to bless you and do all these magnificent things, why are you afraid that you're going to die? Why do you feel that it is that you're going to die? Something is going on in this man's mind. And so therefore, he is going to be corrected. Listen to verse 10. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have lightly lain with thine wife, and thou shouldest brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. I submit to you that God overturned his failure. Does anybody in here know that they've done something they had no business doing and God covered for you anyway? Have you ever done something you had no business, meddling something you had no business, said something you shouldn't have said, did something you shouldn't have done, and you didn't even repent of it yet? And that the person or you got caught doing what you should do, what you shouldn't have been doing, and God made it right. Here's this man, and he goes down there. He's afraid. Not only is he afraid, he's got his wife in on it. The man catches him. And the man said, if anybody touch him or his wife, he didn't say I'll kill him, but it's the same thing. He's going to be put to death. I submit to you that if that's not the same Abimelech, I believe that Abimelech has heard about what had happened before. If it's the same Abimelech, you know that he know that God is going to be with this man and that God would kill you because it happened before. I was told in a dream that I'm dead and everything that I have. If it's not the same Abimelech and it's a title, then the word must have passed on. Because this man right here, he said, like, I'm telling you now, it's not just her. It's him. I know something. what are we saying here? He didn't go down there with his chest stuck out. He actually went down there with fear. He actually went down there with humility. And I submit to you, he was still the man with the promise. He was still the one whom God was with. He was still the one that God said he was going to bless, but things didn't look good. It actually looked like, to a great extent, he was under the people that were there. And the king realized that the other people could look at him and his wife and see nothing special. But I know something. Would to God that we would walk with God so closely that if we stumble and fall, if we miss the mark, that God would cover for us like that. That God would make people be aware of who we are with him. Well, the scripture says in the next verse, and Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Yeah, Papa's sitting back there and he's grown something before. Imagine taking one turnip seed and you get 100 turnips. For those that don't plant anything, imagine taking $1, putting it in an investment, and within the 3-month cycle, if it takes things to grow, that $1 is 100. What if it was 1,000? Now it's 100,000. What if you put in 10,000? And now you're knocking at the door of almost $1 million. I'm just trying to help you see 100-fold. And do you think he just planted one crop? Just one seed? God took him to the place of famine. God took him to a place where he was under somebody to a great extent that they were king and they could have heard him. And start establishing him. Why? Because I've already established your father. But it's your turn. It's me and you. You have to know me in the bad. You have to know me in the good. This is the role for you, Isaac. You know me. Your father has told you these things because I chose him because he would teach and command his children. But you need to know me. And now he knows God. I would say it's almost like a mirror. Isaac mother was barren. His wife is barren. Abraham had a famine. He had a famine. Abraham goes to another kingdom. Isaac goes to another kingdom. Abraham has God's promises. People can't tell it. And the same thing happened with him. But I submit to you that the Lord is trying to show us something. What is he trying to show us? Don't you know that right now, even in this economy right now, it's a downturn for many Christians? It's a downturn for many people that love God? America's not the only place where people love God. There's some in China. There's some in Sudan. There's some maybe even in Afghanistan that's going through economic downturn and don't know what to do and need to be led by God. But for those of us here, we ought to be in God's word and know what to do, that no matter what state we're found, how to live like God say, so that we can be blessed, so that God can show himself strong on our behalf. And he may not give us 100-fold like they say on TBN. But there can be a time for blessing for some. And in this man's life, he sold. God gave him 100-fold. But I want you to see something. With all of this blessing, with all of this 100-fold, I want you to watch what happens in his life. Read, Tim. Then Isaac sold and in the land and received the same year 100-fold. That's not next year, the same year. And the Lord blessed him. Verse 13, and the man waxed great. Hold that in your mind, and went forward and grew until he became very great. This man was, as the young folks say, balling. As I've heard one of my nieces say, he had what they call stacks on deck. He reminds me of the guy in the book of Luke that I don't tear down my barn because I got so much stuff. I got to build bigger and better. The Bible said he was very great. Now, wouldn't you think, Jelly, if God gave you so much money and so much that you became not only great in what you got, but very great, that would be all I need now? I can go shopping. I can get my hair done, my nails, or my daddy. I can get whatever kind of truck I want. People would think like that. God is with me. Isn't this what we think as people, God is with me? Isn't this what people want from God right now when they pay a tithe? I want him to open up the windows of heaven. I want him to pour a blessing out on me. I don't need that blessing from the Lord. Child of the Lord, when he has opened the windows of heaven on me one time, I'll be set. Well, but the Bible says, verse 14, for he had possession of flocks, food, clothing, because they made clothes out of the wool, milk, whatever it was, and then something he could sell. He had possession of herds, something he could trade with, and a great store of servants. People that worked for him had a big corporation, we would call it. And the Philistines, listen to this, envied him. Here's a problem. This man is getting ready to experience envy and hatred. I want you to understand, it's not that Isaac is just being blessed because he kept all of God's word, because he failed. But when God wants to bless you, when you stumble and fall, don't do it again. When you sin, don't go back into it. If God is out to bless you, he wants to see you mature. He wants to see you grow. Don't cast away. I fell. I ain't going to do nothing for the Lord. Everybody see I did wrong. So, you did it. Get back on the horse and ride. Read to him. Verse 16. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us. Listen. Go from us. Why? For thou art mightier than we. I skipped 15. Thank you. And the Philistines envied him. Now I'm going to read 15 and 16 together. It says, for all the wells which his father's servant has digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us. Thou art much mightier than we. We don't like you around, Isaac. We a whole kingdom, and you're mightier than us. You're just one man. One. Stephanie Alford. Have you ever been blessed and the Lord was letting a little stuff, something come your way? And folk looked at it and they couldn't stand it because you were being blessed? And they don't want you around because you got a little stuff. They would rather see you, as long as you under them, it's okay. Mom, have you ever been where as long as you were under somebody, it's okay? But don't you even look like you got a little more. I was told, and I've heard before, well, by my granddaddy, that he took a scripture and bastardized it. But it made good sense. When you got something that on there, the Bible said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand do it. That had nothing to do with not letting people know what you have. But the passage was talking about when you're doing good for somebody, don't tell. But I'm telling you, there was a piece of wisdom in that. Because sometimes if people know you got something, they're not satisfied till they borrow it, till they get it, I'm serious. And you know who the worst people I've seen to be sometimes? Your children, your relatives. Like, for instance, sometimes if a parent happened to come into a windfall or something and maybe get $5,000, $50,000 a settlement or something like that, and sometimes children feel like, well, where my part? Well, the Bible said they envied him. That's the worst kind of envy right there, I believe. Not the kind of envy where they want to get some, but the kind that makes them hate you so much they want you to be out of their presence. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us, thou art much mighty. So you've already instructed him not to kill him, not to touch him. Mm-hmm. And he departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. I want you to see something. In the life of this man, envy and jealousy drove him away. Instead of asking him, why don't you teach us how to prosper? God had said he'd be a blessing. They drove their blessing away. Jesus talked about it in Luke chapter 24, that the scriptures pertain to him. And likes a parable where it talks about the man that had servants. He had a kingdom and he loaned it out to different people And then they would, you know, he wanted to get his goods, and they would beat the people when they were sent to get his goods, and they would mistreat him. And the man said, eventually, I'll send my son. And they envied him. Listen to this, and listen closely. When Jesus came, they envied him. They hated him. They drove him away. They didn't want him in the synagogues. And eventually they killed him. How dare us think that we're going to be following God and the religious community, or even people in this secular world, would fall so much in love with us that they put us on billboards and they want us to come and sit on their committees and be their friend. You may not have great stores of cattle, herds, sheep, oxen, and goats, but you may have talents. You may have gifts. You may have abilities. You may even have a good family. And I submit to you that if this is something that God has blessed you with, people can learn how to envy you and want you out of their presence. How do you act in the midst of that when you've done nothing wrong and God is blessing you and the people don't like it? Do you begin to despise that God has blessed you? Do you begin to act like God hasn't blessed me when I have? God knows I wouldn't know what it would be like to be the most beautifulest person that ever lived and walked and people hated me. I wouldn't know how to take it. Would I go and try to make myself look bad? Have you never ever seen people that try to dress down because people can't take it? You ever seen people that are really educated and they have to dumb themselves down so people won't? Do you understand if some people can cook really well? I just won't cook because when I cook and everybody give me praise, other people get upset. If you can't find patience and comfort in the scripture, if you can't see that these things are similar, then you're not looking at the principle that's being here. The principle is God is blessing and folks see it. And instead of them being a partaker of it and benefiting from it, get away from us because what you got overshadows what we have. Read some more of this sweeted word right here. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, and the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the name by which his father called them. Instead of just reading it, I'll make you understand. His father had dug wells. And when you're dealing in a society where you have cattle and you have sheep and things growing, water is very important. They can't just live with just food, shelter. They got to have water. So wells represented your chance to have a good life, a success, like when we read about Rebecca. Rebecca drew water for the camels. It wasn't raining. So they closed them up after Abraham died. I don't know why they didn't use them, but Isaac dug them again, and the people did not want him to have the water. You already got too much. You get this water, you're going to have more and more. And they put obstacles in their way. Stephanie, have people ever put obstacles in your way to keep you from benefiting? Aunt Ruby, have people ever put obstacles in your way to keep you from benefiting? And have people ever put obstacles in your way and try to thwart what you're doing so that they can stay over you so that you wouldn't benefit more than what you already have been? When God is trying to bless, now this man can say, you know what? God, call down fire from heaven on them. Do something to them, God. Don't you think that this man in his heart is feeling, Lord, what's going on? You said I was blessed. But the man had humility with power. He took that as an opportunity to keep moving and moving till God found a place for him. We'll read some more of the sweeted word of God. 19th verse says, Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Okay, not just a well where the water, like your dirt is here and the water just go here. Springing water. Good Lord have mercy. Do you understand? The Lord is giving him something powerful, a lively thing. And the Bible said, when I look up the word here, it talks about alive, yeah, almost like thrusting up. And it said they found springing water, and the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac herdman, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, which is contention. It said because they strove with him. And you think that if God allowed you to have something that you really, really see as wonderful and good, and somebody want to take it or find fault with you or have contention with you because of that, that that would be enough to make you turn back on God? You see, he's gone through the time of famine in having to trust God. But can you not see, even in a time of prosperity, there's a trusting of God that's taking place? I have not seen him show out. I have not seen him turn his back. I have not seen him just start a fight or something. He could have, but he's acting like his daddy. Did not his daddy have some herdmen of Lot trying to strive with the herdmen of Abraham? He took the method of his daddy, humility. I wouldn't ask you all, do I have that kind of humility? Have I exhibited in front of you all my life? Because I don't want to hear the answer. It says that they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. That means strife. And it says that he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And called the name of it Rehoboth. And said, for now, the Lord, notice he says the Lord, has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in this land. Rehoboth. There was a place for Isaac to be. It may not have been the place that he wanted to be. Because obviously, wherever the well was, that's where he was going to reside. Remember, he has tents. He hasn't built a house. Might have been a magnificent tent. Might have been an awesomely spectacular tent, but it's a tent. And obviously, he wanted to stay where it was Essek, where it was Sitna. But he had to move on because he was not accepted. Did you see that in the life of Paul? Paul's doing the work of God. He goes places and he's not accepted. He's rejected. Didn't he shake the dust off his feet and say, we'll go to the Gentiles? There are times in an individual's life, and you can see throughout the scripture, that if God is really working with that individual, God has varying ways of showing them what to do. Sometimes he talks. Sometimes he gives a vision, and sometimes he have obstacles that you cannot overcome. In the life of Isaac, Isaac is having to move from place to place. And then, Tim, where do you get this from, that he was going to stay at a certain place? Listen to what the man says. And he says, for now the Lord, Yahweh, has made room for us. In other words, I'm keep going till I see where God allows something to work. He didn't say, now they left me alone, I'm good. If he had said that, I don't think I'd have a leg to stand on. But now he says, the Lord has made room. Now, we don't know how he knows that. God could have said, now, this is where you stay. All that we know is he says, the Lord has made room for us, and we see what has happened at the end of that. And it says, we'll be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night. Notice, after he acknowledged that this must be where the Lord wants me to be, could have been wrong. But now the Lord appears to him the same night and says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. You know, Jesus uses one passage like that to show that we still live after death. He says, God told Moses that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living. I submit to you, Jesus could have used this passage. But I want you to see something that if Isaac saw this, the way that it's written, and the way that it really is, he knew something. The Lord appeared to him that night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. No more fear. I'm that God. I'm the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Notice it didn't say for the one that used to be my servant. For my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. That's like a euphemism for worship. Praying. And pitched his what? And pitched his tent there, and Isaac's servants digged the well. That's why I noticed when we teach two books at the time or in the same week, you see how the Bible is so connected. Hebrews said that they dwelt in tents. And it made a point of that, that they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get the land yet. They didn't even have a house built. They lived in tents. Here Isaac is with all these blessings, cattle, servants, herdsmen, and God's blessing, and they didn't have the house. We need to count the blessings that we do have, because often the blessings or the things that we don't have may not be for us to have. Not in this life. This man hated, he was envied, and yet because of what God is telling him, he's beginning to realize that God is sovereign in his life just like he was in his daddy. I'm the one that told you not to go to Egypt. I'm the one that let you go to Gerar. I'm the one that made this man say, we ain't going to touch you. And I'm the one that blessed you in spite of all the obstacles that they set in front of you. You should be willing, we should be willing to look at this and get comfort and have patience and have hope. We don't have to trust other people. We don't have to make other people like us. All we got to do is know that God is with us and God is for us, and we're walking according to his plan, and that when we fail, we want to get right back on the plan with God. We don't walk in and stay in dirt and sin and filth and forfeit God's blessing in our lives. I never would teach you that you go and make one sin and God's going to damn you to hell. But I will tell you this much. There are certain sins that you better not be caught doing when you die. There are certain sins you better not be doing, because there's lists in the Bible. But I tell you, if you miss the mark, and if you stumble and you fall and you repent, which means to turn from your wicked, ungodly way, your wickedry, your wickedity, your, what you call, obstinance, presumptuous sin, and you fall back on the pattern that God has set for you, God will abundantly pardon, and you will be right in line with what God wants. Well, the word of God said he built an altar there. He didn't forget how to worship when he had prosperity. Because it could have easily been, y'all tried to hold me down. Y'all tried to mess with me, and God still blessed me anyway. And now I'm going to show y'all what I have. No, the Bible said he worshiped. Then the Bible says, and Abimelech went to him from Gerar. Now, notice this. Abimelech is seeing what God has done to this man and for this man. And Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath and one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to them, listen, this is so beautiful. Isaac said unto them, wherefore come you to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? Do you all remember when we went through Hebrews 11 and we talked about Jephthah just this week? How his brothers hated him and got rid of him. But when the time came there was trouble, that they knew that this man was a man of valor. But I don't think that they either they didn't know or they didn't care that he was a man that believed in God. And when they had trouble and distress, they came to him. I submit to you that if you walk with God like he said, and God is blessing you, and God is doing things in your life, although you may not be totally matured, or you may not be getting everything right, people take note. Why do you think they try to tear you down? Why do you think they try to mooch off you? Why do you think that they always coming to you with their problems? Well, why are you coming to me, he said, seeing that you hate me? I like that. He's not using deceit anymore, is he? I'm not afraid anymore, is he? Why are you coming to me? Seeing that you hate me, you sent me away from you. You kicked me out of your place. And they said, listen to this testimony. We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there not be an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, and that thou wilt do us no hurt. But we have not touched thee, as we have done unto thee, nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art the blessed of the Lord. God Almighty, do you understand that there can come a time in your life before you die? It may not for you. But in this man's life, he's only one life that we're talking about right now, in the life of the scriptures. We have others to go through, a multiplicity. But in this life, at this time, because when we go further on in his life, you're going to see some other things that happen. But in this time, don't you think he felt the sovereignty of God? These people that drove him away, now they're saying, can we make a covenant with you? We need to make a covenant with you. We already said you're mightier than us when we sent you away. We want to make a covenant that you won't do any hurt to us. Because you's a big man. You got the ability. Somebody say, Tim, you just add stuff to the scripture. You know that one man ain't got enough power to hurt nobody. Well, what about his daddy? Genesis chapter 14. Yeah, his daddy dwelt in tents, but he got 318 men of his servants and went out there and he kicked rump on some other kings and delivered Lot and Sodom. And this man says, do you think that a man that's greater than you would come to you and make a covenant with you that you don't hurt them when you're small and insignificant and don't think you could do anything? And bring the captain of his army? But this is not the only thing that I see. He says, we want to make a covenant that you do us no hurt, seeing we have not touched you and have only done good. I submit to you that that's not really true. They didn't only do them good. You sent them away out of envy because I was prospering. But it worked out for good. But that wasn't your motive. You wanted him out of there. You didn't want him to prosper. You didn't want him to be big. And I submit to you that the same thing is going to happen when God allows the children of Israel to get down there in Egypt. In about Exodus chapter 1 and 2, they're going to start getting big and start getting mighty. And you're going to want to do something to stop God's blessing on his people. Well, the word of God said, we've done nothing for you good. And this is what it's saying here in this 29th verse. We sent you away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. We see God has blessed you. We know this is not normal. It's not normal for one man to have all of this. Not a hundredfold. The earth just opening up and saying, here, boom, boom, boom. It's blowing up out of proportion. And it says, and he made them a feast and they did eat and drink. Couldn't he have been angry? Couldn't he have said, I do nothing. Go away and feel like I was. Tables have turned. I submit to you that whenever a person walks with God, no matter what the condition of the economy is, when God is that person that's hardest toward God and God overturns your favor and you're still walking with him, and when he blesses you and people have envy and hatred against you or whatever it is, they can't stop God's blessing and you got God's sovereignty working in your life, I believe that there are times it will be for many of us, it may not be for each and every one of us, that God will let people know that you are the person that's blessed and they can't stop it. I believe that. I believe it. And what do you do? Do you rub it in their face? Or do you walk with humility? What did Paul say? What did any man get that he didn't receive? They rose quickly in the morning. They swore one to another and sent them away and they departed in peace. Isaac made a feast with them. Isaac had nothing to lose with being hospitable to them. Why? Because you and you are being a blessing to somebody like God, so you don't curse them. But you notice it doesn't say Isaac went there and they hung out. Do you notice it didn't say Isaac spent everything trying to fix everything in their life? What it showed is that Isaac went on with what God had for them to do, and they acknowledged that he was who God wanted him to be. And it says that it came to pass in the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning a well which they dig, and said, we have found water, and he called it Sheba. Or the name of the city is Beersheba until this day. In other words, God was still blessing. And they named it Oath. That's where they made the oath. And Beersheba is the name of the place. So when you take the Sheba and you put the beer on it, then it means the well, the sevenfold oath. That may be important for you in the future. This is what we're dealing with in the life of Isaac. God's blessing. God took him through things. When you look at your life, haven't you gone through things? Haven't you gone through times where God had to lead? Haven't you had some great highs in God? If you haven't had any great highs in God, that's okay. We could talk about other people in the scripture that didn't. Envy, hatred, people can't stop God from blessing you. And there are times when people probably see that God is blessing you and that God is doing things, and they may never admit it like these men did. Well, to end and round out this chapter, which is going to be the thought which will take us into chapter 27, it says, and Esau was 40 years old, and he took the wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine to Isaac and Rebekah. I'll try to develop that next week if the Lord's will. But what I will say in passing, after God had taken him this high, had established him, blessed him, let other people see that he was blessed, then go back to your family, and now you got problems. His walking with God, his wealth, did not stop that. The acknowledgement of other people that God was blessing him did not stop it. You see, because when I was reading in Josephus, these two women that they married were daughters of somebody that was of big importance, lords over in that area, as if Esau was going to make himself somebody in the land on his own will and his own doing. Knowing that Isaac did not get a wife from there, Abraham didn't want him to. Don't you also understand that Isaac didn't want Esau to do that? Somebody said, Tim, you're adding. I said, why was it a grief? Mm-hmm. Read the scriptures. Do you see that you would think that it would be perfect now? God has blessed him, established him, everything's going good. Those of us that have children, no matter what's going great in our life, if one of our children is messing up, making decisions that's going to cost them, making decisions that's going to cost them not only in this life, but decision that's going to lead them far away from the God of the scripture that's blessing us, that's giving us wisdom, that has to be a sore spot. That has to hurt. Don't you think he would give up some of those wells for his son? But this is the real scripture. So as we go into next week, we're going to see that out of all of this that Isaac got, out of all of the blessing that Isaac had, he was still human, and God did not protect him from every little situation that came up, but God was with him. I want you to hear that. God does not protect him from every situation, from everything that could cause him hurt, everything that could cause him pain, everything that would thwart his own plans, but God was with him. If that doesn't give you comfort when things happen to you that you know shouldn't, when you know it's not fair, when you know it's not right, then you got an expectation of God that he never showed to be. Think it was fair that Jesus had to die for us? You think it was fair he was called an illegitimate? You think it was fair that he was spit on and lied on? Mocked in front of people with a bloody color robe and hung up there naked in front of people. You think it was fair? Think it was fair that Paul out here teaching God's word is in shipwreck in the deep and the dark, don't have enough food to eat? Whereas these ministers today, they say they're supposed to be in abundance. Paul is the one writing the scripture. He's not living in abundance like that. They got jets and Paul is in shipwreck. You think that's fair? Don't you think Paul, since he is still alive, like, Father, why couldn't I be on planes? Why I got to be out there in the deep and this shipwreck? Why? Because that's your lot. Whichever place you're found, be content and be knowing that I'm with you and that's enough. Who are we going to be? Are we going to really know that we're blessed? To be a blessing to other people? Are we going to know that in the midst of whatever goes our way, that if we got God instruction, we're good? Are we going to ever get to the place that we realize that people are supposed to be envious of us? That way, how do they show they're envious of us? Sometimes they shut you up when you talk. Sometimes they want to censor you because your words are too powerful. Sometimes they want to separate you from their company. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, rejoice and leap for joy. What do you mean, Tim? Blessed are you when men shall revile you, and shall hate you, and shall separate you from their company. Why? For my name's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. I think it's in Luke 6:22. That's where Luke gives the account of that passage. Well, why would you rejoice and leap for joy? He said, great is your reward in heaven. But you could also look back at the scripture and see how God operated. So don't ever just think because you're walking with God, there are no obstacles. For Isaac, there were times when he was going through it hard. There was famine. There was another time when there was fear of the unknown. I mean, this government can do something to me. There's a time whenever he was lifted up and he was being blessed and people hated him. They didn't even want him around. Then with the realization and God making people acknowledge that God was blessing him, don't you know that had to be joyous, wonderful? But then tacking on to where we're going next week, now you got a child that doesn't seem to understand that everything that you have, that you've been blessed with, comes from God, and they don't want to acknowledge. They're trying to do things their own way, and you know it's wrong. Two things I didn't cover in this passage, and there was a reason. When we started this chapter, I don't know where Jacob and Esau was. I could not tell if this happened before they were born. I couldn't. I know that the way it's written in the scripture, you would think they were born, but then I want to know, where were they? They may have been there and with the servants. Okay? So that could be it. But I'm just telling you, I don't know. But then somebody would say, well, if they said Esau was 40 when this happened, it would lead me to believe it's chronological, but I don't know. So if somebody going to ask me that question, I'm telling you now, I don't know. I think they were born. I think they were in the midst of the servants, but they weren't there in the position where Isaac was with Abimelech. I don't know. And if you you say, well, I know that they were because at the end they tacked on Isaac. You can read stuff in the Kings sometimes. It's not necessarily in chronological order. The book of Daniel is not really in chronological order. The information is there. So, Father, I ask you to help us to trust you with your word, that we would learn from looking in the lives of others that we don't make an expectation of you that you haven't made of yourself, and thus create an idol God that you don't resemble nor that you acknowledge. I ask you to help us to be true to you and true to your text. Live our lives in such a way that we are so in line with you that when we stumble and fall, that even if you have to correct us with somebody outside of your will, that because of the fact your sovereign plan for us is to be a blessing, that we can be that blessing, and that we would trust you whether we're up or down, whether we're hated or loved, whether we're blessed or whether we're in famine and still blessed and don't know it. We just want to be your people. We just want to live the life that you would have us to live so that we can take the responsibility of being a child of God seriously, and you'll be pleased with us. I ask this in the name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen.